Nechir Parshas Korach. Vikach Korach. So Rashi says, Parshazu Yafen Nidreshes. This Parsha is very nicely explained. He says, brings an age-old joke. He starts off with, he even says, Milo Yodeya Ma Hashem Esaprim. It's the old joke about the Darshan, that he only had one drasha. That's all he knew was one drasha. So wherever he went, he said that one drasha. And the problem is, it was on Parshas Korach. So it's not every week it's all Parshas Korach. So we had a little bit of a problem. So what he used to do, he used to go to speak on some other parsha, whatever. And at the beginning, he would get up and onto the podium or whatever. And then he would take out his handkerchief and wipe his brow, you know, from his sweat, and drop the handkerchief. And he would say, oh, you know, get angry at his handkerchief and says, oh, you know, you should be swallowed up in the ground like Korach and his Ada. And then he picks up his handkerchief and he says, well, now that I'm having to speak about Korach and his Ada, let me tell you an interesting drush. Okay, anyways, let's get to the Inyanim here. So he says he has a question. So the rebellion of Korach, Rashi says it was in the late afternoon, Main Arbaim. Now Moshe Rabbeinu pushed off everybody and said, we'll wait until the morning. So we'll see what happens in the morning. Why? Because hoping that maybe overnight they would do tshuva or whatever. But nothing doing. They got up the next day, the 250 men, and with Korach, and they came to the Petach HaMoed with their fire pans, with the Ketoret, and the whole Eidah, whatever, and they all were, Korach was busy the whole night trying to, with his Leitzanis, trying to gather them all together. Okay, so they thought that Korach was right, and Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong, and now they came to do the test. So he said, Rav Galinsky always had a question. That's as follows. So the Gemara says that the man, one of the characteristics of the man was that it fell in different places depending on the individual. So for tzaddikim, it fell right by their doorstep. For beinanim, it fell further away. And the rishayim, they had to go far away to fetch their man. So he said, so I have a pashut question, he says. They were questioning Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was saying, you know, they're wrong. So why couldn't they use the man as a test? In other words, Mistama, the man for Korach and his men, right, the Rishayim, they was probably far away. They had to go fetch their man for a great distance. Moshe Rabbeinu's man fell at his doorsteps, obviously. It was a tzaddik. So why couldn't the people just... finished. We know it's right. Moshe Rabbeinu's man is in the doors. Korach, everybody, they're fetching their man. It's obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu's right, and they're wrong. Finished. How could they get taken into the Korach with Korach? Just look where the man is. Finished. So he said, this question bothered me, he says, quite a while. And he asked, he says, once an Adam Gadol. And he says, very simple, he says, from when do we paskin from with Mofsim? You know, you don't paskin shailas because of miracles, because of Mofsim. He says, where do we see this? A classic example with Eliezer. Right? Eliezer Eved Avram, he went to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. And what happens? He goes to the Be'er and he sees that the water comes up for Rivka. Right? A miracle. Water comes up. There doesn't have to go, you know, to the well to draw the water. Water comes up to her. Obvious miracle. So it's obvious this woman's a tzedekis. So yet, what did Eliezer do? Starts asking questions and asking me something to drink and see if he's giving the camels a drink and him to drink. Why do you have to do all that? Look, the water came up. There it says. You can your own paskin with miracles. Of course, famous Gemara and Baba Metzia Dafnun Tes with Rebbe Eliezer Gadol when he was arguing with the Chachamim, and he wanted to prove his point, and he said, let the carob tree be uprooted, let the walls of the base medrash come down, etc., etc., and let a baskol come out. A baskol came out and said that he was right, and Rebbe Yeshua got up and he said, Torah lo b'shamayim hi. You know, that's it, you don't use miracles to paskin. So, okay, so that's one answer, that the miracle of the man we can't use to judge here. Fine. He says once he spoke in Muncie to a group of Hasidim, and they said, it's not Akasha. said, why? Said, because Korach was a Rebbe. So he asked, what is that supposed to mean? He says, there was a Rebbe. Rebbe has Chassidim. Chassidim, it's time away, and took the man from the other end of the camp and brought him and put it on his doorstep. So nobody knew that the man was. Okay. But then, he said, later on, he found out that the whole kasha, he says, is not a kasha to begin with. Why? Because there's a, from the Sefer Shevet Musar, he brings down that the following. He talks about there about how terrible it's have machloikis, and he says, v'teida kama kasha machloikis, I'll show you how bad machloikis is to Hashem. Shebemaisa egel shayu b'shalom non nifsak aman. The Maisa Egel, as terrible it was, Vodazar, whatever, but there was no, they were not fighting with each other, and therefore the man didn't stop. Achi Krivim manually from the Egel, but even brought it, offered it in front of the Egel. Machlakto shel Korach lo yarad beoto yom. The man didn't fall that day when there was the machlokes with Korach. Well, so the question is not a question. Why didn't they look where the man was? There was no man on that day. Hashem stopped the man when they made the machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did the, why, what ma kesher? So it's a big kesher. Why did the man fell b'schus Moshe, the Gemara says in Tainus. And that's why one of his names is Yered, Sheyarad Lam Yisrael, man b'yamav. The man fell in schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mela, Hashem wanted to say, you know, don't start up with Moshe Rabbeinu. He stopped the man and to show him that it comes in schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. You start with Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what happens. So the obvious question is that, you know, here the man stopped. There, no food because we start with Moshe Rabbeinu. So they should stop starting up with Moshe Rabbeinu. But they didn't. What's pshat? So he said, from here we see that how a person, you know, looks at things in warped ways, the way he wants to see things. How so? That so David probably said, you see? See how Hashem is makpid with Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong, he's starting up with whatever, he's wrong, that's why Hashem took away the man. It's supposed to be in his chus, took it away because he's wrong. They warped the whole lesson. Sees, so it brings here another example of how people see things in the wrong light. So there was a maisa with the Saba Kadisha Miradashitz. So when he was a young avreich, he was very, very poor, and he wanted to go to his Rebbe and Jose Miluvlin, who, no, without coincidence, lived in Lublin. So he wanted to travel to Lublin to see his Rebbe, and he didn't have money to take a train. He was very poor. So he made it, he started walking. He's walking, and all of a sudden he sees this wagon coming by, and inside the wagon there was a very sick man lying there with a couple of mishamshim who happened to be the sons of this man, of the very sick man. And what happened was the town where they were from, the doctors gave up hope, there's nothing they can do for him. So they said they should go to Lublin, there's a big doctor there, a specific professor or whatever, and hopefully he can find a cure. So they were on the way to Lublin to see this big doctor to hopefully cure their father. So they passed by the Saba Miradashitz, who's walking there, and they see, you know, this Yid walking and trekking along. So they stop the Agala, and they said, where are you headed? So he says, Lublin. So they said, okay, we're also going to Lublin. Why don't you hop on? So he says, wonderful. So he gets on the Agala, the wagon, and he sees a sick man, you know, and he understands that they're going to this doctor, whatever. So he felt really, really bad. His heart went out for this poor sick man that he was sitting right next to him. So he started saying Tillim, you know, with tremendous, you know, he's Slavas, you know, he's saying Tillim after Tillim and davening for this poor man. All of a sudden, the sick man opens up his eyes and he sits up and he says, what's going on over here? Where are we going? He says, I'm perfectly fine. Sure enough, that was it. He was cured. So he said, let's go home. I'm fine, you know. So the son saw this, and they said, wow. He said, you know, this is amazing. You know, it's like they say, the old saying goes, said that a small doctor has a small malach with him, and a big doctor has a big malach with him. So you see the koach of this doctor, that we just are on the way to him, and already he's cured this guy. Maybe it was the tillim of the Remy. No, how do they look at it? The malach of the doctor had said it. So the Rebbe Miradishitz, when he told the story over in his humility, he said, you know what? He says, I don't know if it was my Tehillim really that did it, but, you know, what happens? They told me that was it. We stopped. They said, okay, we're going back. See you later. And they made me get off the thing. You know, come on. You know, maybe he says it wasn't my Tehillim that did it, but maybe it was the chesed that they did by, you know, picking me up. They could have at least looked at it that way. There was a chesed, and the tear they stopped, said, okay, get out. We're going home now. And then, come on. You know. So again, people see things the way they want to see things. Next. It says, Ve'yikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, Ve'dasan ve'avriyam ben Eliyavon ben Pelas ben Eruvain, Ve'yakumu lifnei Moshe. So, strange wording in the pasuk, Ve'yikach Korach, and Korach took. But it doesn't say what he took. Ve'yikach Korach, he took. And then it goes on, Ve'yakumu lifnei Moshe, what did he take? So a lot of perushim. So when the Midrash Rabbah says, Ve'yikach Korach, malakach, lolach, he didn't take anything. Elibo natalo. Then his heart took him. So he says, he wants to explain what this means based on the following mashal. He says, there was once a ganav, a thief, who wanted to rob a bank. But, you know, not so easy to rob a bank. There's a shomer, a guard, standing outside the door. And how's he going to get in, you know, to rob the bank, whatever? So he had what he thought was a bright idea. And he dressed himself as a policeman. So he figured, you know, this shomer at the door, he's a policeman, he's not going to stop him, a policeman. So, sure enough, that's what he did. And it worked. He comes to the front door, dressed like a policeman, the guard, you know, oh, gets up, here, please, opens the door for him, whatever. And Ganav goes in, dressed like a cop. Fine. So he goes up to the window, you know, the teller, and pulls out his gun, and he says, this is a stick-up. You know, hand over all your money, empty out your thing, go empty out the safe, whatever. So she got, all the tellers got orders that if anybody ever does that, don't, you know, to give up your life, you know, you give them the money. So he's standing there waiting, and she starts piling up the money on the counter, you know, this more and more bills. And then all of a sudden, he feels a poke in his back, and somebody says to him, to the Ganav, hands up. Drop your gun, hands up. So he drops his gun, hands up, and he turns around and he sees a plain, regular, plain dressed person, like with a gun in his hand, and you know. So he said, "What's going on? Who are you? I didn't see you. What's going on?" So he says, "I'm an undercover cop. I'm a plain clothes cop. So that's it. You're under arrest." So he takes out his handcuffs, and he puts his handcuffs on the gunner, who dressed as a cop, you know, puts his handcuffs in, and handcuff on himself also, you know, so he doesn't run away. And he says, okay, let's go. He says, where are we going? He says, to the police station. Finished. So he's, oh, man. Anyway, so, okay, so they make their way out of the bank, and they're walking down the street to the local police station, which is around the corner. So, as they're walking, you know, they're handcuffs, you know, it looked a little bit funny because they see this guy, a cop, next to this plainclothes guy, but people didn't realize really the cop was really the gunman and the plainclothes person was really the policeman. But, okay, so they're walking along. All of a sudden, who do they bump into? A neighbor of the real cop, right? His name was Moshe, their name. The cop, so the plainclothes policeman, his name was Moshe. So Moshe bumps into one of his neighbors. So the neighbor says, Moshe, whoa, I never would have thought, you know, here's policemen's taking you, you know, I thought you were a nice, fine guy from a nice family, and here you were caught, you know, by this policeman, I see you're in handcuffs, and whatever. So Moshe's like, oh no. He said, he knows this guy's a real big blabbermouth. He said, he's going to spread rumors that he's a thief and this and that, whatever. He goes, oh no. So Moshe figured, okay, you know, I have no choice. I got to tell the guy. So he says, listen, it's not what you see. He says, what do you mean? He says, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't tell anybody this, but I'm actually an undercover policeman. And this guy dressed as a policeman, he's the gunner. And, you know, so the neighbor's like, wow, okay, well that makes more sense now. Ah, so you're really the good guy, and he's the bad. I thought you were such a fine person, I couldn't believe it. Ah, good, fine. Okay, so he figured, you know, that's the end of that. But then this Ganav, you know, he wanted to get nekama against this policeman. So the Ganav says to the neighbor, he says, "Don't believe what he's saying. He says, he just wants to, I'm of course the police. What you see? I'm the police, not him. Come on, he's pulling a fast one on you. As you can see, I'm the policeman. He's the Ganav." So he doesn't know what to believe now. Moshe's telling him that he's the good guy, and this guy's the guy. The policeman's telling him, no, he's he's all confused. He's, look, there's no... So Moshe was thinking, you know, what to do, how to save the situation. So he says to the guy, okay. He says to the neighbor, listen, you're not sure who's the guy. He says, very simple. He says, this guy you think maybe he's the police, claims he's the policeman, no problem. Go ask him for the key to the handcuffs. So of course, he didn't have any of the keys to the handcuffs. So Moshe pulled out of his pocket the key to the handcuffs. So he said, that solves the mystery. I'm obviously the policeman. I'm holding the key to the handcuffs. So what is the nimshal? So the nimshal is us and the Yetzer Hara. Right? We're handcuffed to the Yetzer Hara. There's always this Yetzer Hara with us. But the question is, who's in control? Who has the key? Is the Yetzer Hara in control, and the Yetzer Hara is controlling us? Or are we controlling the Yetzer Hara? Who's holding on to the key? That's the big question. So Mele, he says, that's the fact, like the Gemara says, Chazal say, HaRashayim Heim Birshut Libam. Whereas the Tzadikim Libam Birshutam. Right? Who's in, is their heart, of the heart of Rashayim, they're ruling them, the Yetzer Hara is ruling them, whereas the Tzadikim, they're in control. They're in control of their heart. So Meili says, that's Vayikach Korach. Says that we said that what's Vayikach Korach? That his heart took him. Meaning he was of the Rishayim, that their hearts controlled them. He couldn't control himself. Why couldn't he control himself? Because he was jealous. He was jealous, as Rashi tells us, of the appointment of Eli Tzafan to be the Nasi, and he felt he came before him in line of age or whatever, and he was jealous. And since he was jealous, he couldn't control himself. He was in the reshus of his heart. Mele, as Vayikach Korach, his heart took him. And he concludes here, he says that once he was in the east side, Manhattan, and he was collecting money, you know, for the yeshivas, as he did quite often, with Galinsky, and he had a number of a certain, this address of a certain gvir. So he goes to the, knocks on the door, and the maid or whatever says, sir, he's not home. So he said, when he'll be home, we'll come back in maybe a couple hours, whatever. So he figured, okay, so Yaakov had some other addresses he went to in the meantime, and then he came back again and knocked on the door, and he says, no, the Balabite's not home. He's late, whatever, he's not home. He says, okay, he's still not home, fine. So he left, and then he decided he was going to call the house of that gvir to leave a message. Whatever. So he calls he dials the number, and hello, who picks up? The gvir. He was just at his house, and the maid said he's not home. It was him, he picks up. So, quick thinking, he says to the gvir, he says, listen, I owe you an apology, I want to ask you slicha. So he says, slicha for what? I don't understand. What did you do to me? He says, well, listen, I was choshed you incorrectly. Why? Because he said, when I was knocked on the door and a couple times, the maid kept saying, you're not here. So I thought, you know, when he said the balabai wasn't there, I thought that maybe it's not true. Maybe the balabai really is there. He says, but now I see I was choshed you for nothing, because it really was true. The balabai really isn't there. Right, meaning the Balabai was a Balabai. Balabai, somebody's in control of himself, whatever. But you're not in control. You can't control yourself, your money, or whatever. So the Balabai really isn't home. Balabai's not home. So I apologize. Okay. When Korach and his Ada came against Moshe Rabbeinu, like we mentioned earlier, Moshe said, "Boker v'yodo Hashem es Hashelo." He said, "Fine, come back in the morning. We'll see what the story is. Who's right?" And again, he was hoping that maybe they would do tshuva overnight. So, but what happened? Things only got worse. Before it was this Korach and his 250 men, but now it says the next day. It says in the pasuk, "Yakel aleim Korach es kol haida." Korach was gathered against Moshe and Aaron. The whole Eida. He got the whole Eida after Moshe. How did he do this, says Rashi? As we said before, through his Leitzanis. He uses his Leitzanis to gather everybody together. So the Midrash tells us what was his leitzanis. How was he able to get the people to follow him? He told them a story. What was the story? He says, there's this poor almana, this poor widow woman who has two daughters, and she's my neighbor. And I really, really feel terrible for her. He says, well, they said, why? What happened? She says, listen, she's very poor. She has to eat. And so she decided she's got to do something, get some food. So she took her shor and her chamor, and she started plowing her field, so she can then plant and have some food. So what happens? All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu runs over to her and says, what are you doing? Lo tachrish b'shor v'chamor yachdav. You're not allowed to plow with shor and chamor together. She says, oh, fine, okay. So she let the shor and chamor go, and she took her two daughters, and they had to pull the plow. Okay, so then what happened? Fine, they plowed, and then she wanted to plant a seed, so she wanted to have a different variety of different things, so she started planting this, planting that, and Moshe screams, hey, sadcha lo tizra kilayim, what are you doing? You're allowed to, it's kilayim, you can't plant kilayim. She says, oops, okay, fine. So that was the end of that. She just planted some wheat. She comes to cut down the wheat, and he says, wait a minute, you have to leave leket, shecha, peya, okay, so she has to leave that. Then came the time, after the harvesting, and to make, he says, wait a second, before you eat the food, you have to leave trumas, you have to leave meiser, meiser ishan, meiser sheni, etc. Okay, has to give up all that. And then she saw that it's not going to happen. She's not going to make a very much parnasa with her field. So she sold it. Instead, she bought two sheep in order to, it said to have their milk and to use the wool from them. So what happens? Along comes Aaron and says, excuse me, Bechor, you have to give me the firstborn. Give me the firstborn. Gave it to him. Then came time to shear the sheep. And then he said, excuse me, Reishis Agez, you have to give me the first shearings. So she's okay. She says, I can't handle this guy anymore. Forget it. So I'm just going to shecht it and gemar it. So she shechts the animal to eat it. And what? Oop, pops up on the scene here. Give me the zroa, l'chaim, the keva, the gifts of the kohen. So she goes, oh, forget this. I'm just going to, make it cherem. So Aaron says, cherem, cherem, kol cherem l'konim. And he takes it all for himself. So she left crying with her two daughters. And, I feel terrible for this poor woman. So that was his leitzanis, and says, look at this, my Moshe and Aaron, look what they're doing to this poor woman, look what they did to her, whatever. And that was his leitzanis. So Rabbi Yaakov said, l'chura, I thought that if I would have been there, I would have yelled at him. I said, what are you talking about? You're telling these stories. So if she has this field, and they're in the desert. They're in the desert, okay? They're in the desert. What fields? Who has fields in the desert? And they're planting. What's going on over here? And anyways, hungry, doesn't have food. They had the man. Everybody had the man. They were fed. They had what to eat, what to drink, and everything. Well, what's this business? This poor woman has what to eat, and planting this field. And what's this with the peya, shikha, peya? There's no true. There's no gifts to the poor in the desert. It didn't happen yet until they came to Eretz Yisrael. And he says, but Lamaisa, truth of the matter is, he says, that if I would have been there, I probably wouldn't have said anything. Why? Because that's the koach of a sipur. He says, that's a story. When you tell a person a story, they get so unraveled and so caught up in the story that they lose perspective. They feel like they're in a different world. They're so entrenched and enthralled with this story. So he said, I would have probably get taken away with it also. In fact, that's what we say, that the Leila Seder, you have to, in Yenav Sipur, he says Mitzrayim, and call him Marva, Sipur, Reza Meshuvah, because it just takes you away from it and puts you into different Mitzias. But he says, but Lamaisa, because I have another question, though. He says, there's an expression, he's Asher like Korach, right? Korach was a very, very wealthy man. Chazal tell us in Midrash Rabbah that Gemara Sanhedrin says also, right, that Korach, he found one of the treasures that Paro had hidden, and he had 300 mules, white mules, just to carry the keys to his treasure houses, Korach. That's how much he had. He had needed 300 mules just to carry the keys to his treasure house. The guy was a filthy, filthy rich. So he says, I don't know, I have a Pasha question. Korah, I could have asked the Korah. I don't understand you. Fine, there's this poor, poor woman. Why don't you give her some money? Instead of, this poor woman, this, that, she what to eat. You're filthy rich, so give her some money, give her some food. Well, come on, what's good? Instead of complaining about, what's this poor woman, give her to eat. And he says, and not only that, even those that were listening to him, right? Also, Chazal tell us that there shelo haya achad miYisrael shelo hayu lo tishim chamorim luvim tunim mikasper zoram shel Mitzrayim. Every yid that came out of Mitzrayim had 90 donkeys that were laden with gold and silver they took from Mitzrayim. So even those that were listening to him were filthy rich. So fine, there's such a woman. So give her what to eat. Give her what. You're also rich. So what's going on over here? So we see over here what? That unfortunately, that's the way people are. Right, that they're willing to say, oh, terrible, this, that, and complain, or whatever. But when it comes to doing something, I don't do anything. So that's, unfortunately, the nature of human beings. And he says, therefore, we shouldn't be like Korach. You know, he says, very easy to talk and to complain and to criticize. But do something. Don't just talk, don't criticize. Do something. You can do something, you have to do it. And if we sit there with our hands folded, he says, then it could be we're over on lo yeke Korach v'chadaso. So we should all be zoiche to make sure we... not only complain, but do something about our complaints, be active, and Mizrat Hashem, if we take into our hands all the various problems that we see around us, Hashem should in fact reciprocate and take care of the problems on his side and bring Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yimeher V'Yameinu.